If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would take them and find in the New Testament the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, located near the back of the New Testament. If you do not have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you, one of our pew Bibles. Feel free to take that and to use it. If you don't have one, maybe somebody will hand one to you. You'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 17 on page 718. Page 718 if you're using one of the pew Bibles. Welcome all of you that have been vacationing. It's good to have you back. We've missed you. And I thank God that you had a good time and you're here and saw God's hand protect you. I want to preach a message today that I will not finish today. I'll finish next week. I haven't decided if I'll finish it in the morning or the evening service, but it'll get finished next week. But I want to preach a message today entitled, Hurdling the Hindrances of Satan. Hurdling the hindrances of Satan. We know what it is to run the hurdles. Maybe back in your glory days, you were a hurdle runner. I tried it one time, skinned up my knee bone, my shin bone, my chin bone, figured hurdling was not for me. But some of you know what it is. I do like to watch those sprinters run those hurdles and watch them clear those things and sprint. We know what it is to hurdle something. And I titled the message, Hurdling the Hindrances of Satan. And I really believe today's message will be a message of hope and a message of comfort to you. And I want it to be a blessing. And I know it's what God would have. If you'd find 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 17, the Apostle Paul writing here to the church of Thessalonica. He's not writing from the city of Thessalonica. He's actually writing from the city of Corinth. He's writing to this church that he founded back in Acts chapter number 17. People believe that 1 Thessalonians was one of the earliest writings of the Apostle Paul. And he writes this to them in chapter 2, verse number 17. But we, brethren, that was the team the Apostle Paul was on, the missions team that started the church, being taken from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. He's absent here. He's not with them in body, but he's with them in spirit. He's with them in heart. And there's a desire there, an endeavor there, the more abundantly to see their face with great desire. That word desire there carries the idea of craving. He's craving within his soul. If you've ever been away from your family, maybe you travel on business and you have a child. You know what it is to miss your child when you travel. You know what it is to crave to be home. Maybe not the first or second day, amen, but day three or four, you begin to crave to be home. Verse number 18, he says, wherefore, because of this great desire, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But here's our text. But Satan hindered us. But Satan hindered us. I had another title for the message today, and the other title was, It Even Happened to the Apostle Paul. It even happened to the Apostle Paul. Here we find the Apostle Paul, the great desire to visit these people, the great love for these people, but he's unable to be with them. Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writes the ultimate reason why he can't be with them, and he writes this reason saying, I'm hindered by Satan. Now, when you think about the Apostle Paul and the greatness of this man and all the victories that he was able to accomplish, it's hard to believe that he could be hindered. But you know what? That brings great hope to me, because there's times in my life that I know I'm being hindered by the enemy. And it is a burden, and it is an emptiness, and it is a heaviness to go through times when we're being hindered by Satan. You say, Pastor, what does it mean to be hindered by Satan? If you were to research the word really means to be cut into. To be cut into. It means impeding one's progress by breaking up the road. We know what it is to travel a road. We know what it is to travel a physical road, and we know what it is to travel the road of life. We understand words like smooth sailing, smooth road. And if you're from the north, you understand the word pothole. Pothole. Thank God we don't have potholes in South Florida. Now, we may have a little bit of cracking here or there, but I just came into Detroit, brother. Let me tell you something. They got holes that reach down to China down in there. My goodness gracious. I forgot what it was like. I thought I had a flat tire and hit some of those things, shook. That rental car would never be the same. It has been abused. But we know what it is to be traveling life's road, all of a sudden hit a pothole. We know what it is sometimes physically. We know what it is sometimes spiritually. We know what it is sometimes mentally. Everything seems to be going fine. We hit a pothole. I want you to understand something, and it is imperative that you understand this in your Christian walk. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you developed an enmity, an enemy in Satan. I hope you understand that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." There is an enemy in this world, and his name is Satan. And he is a defeated foe, amen? But he is there. I thank God for John verse 16, chapter 16, verse 33, where the Lord Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I thank God that even though we do have an enemy, he is a defeated enemy today. Oh, at Calvary's cross, Satan thought he had victory. He thought the Son of God is finally dead. Ezekiel says, "I will rise up and I will ascend the throne of God. I will be like the Most High and I will rule in his place. 3 days all of hell rejoiced. But oh, that third day up from the grave he arose." And mighty is our God today. Yet you and I walk this earth and we walk in our Christian life and we do have an enemy and he does hinder us and he does break up our road and he does impede the progress as we serve our Lord. And sometimes they're little, but sometimes they're deep and they're wide. Sometimes they're scrapes and they're scraps, and sometimes they're wounds. Sometimes they are not life-threatening, and sometimes they take a life. But anybody who's been born again, who walks with God, knows that we have an enemy. Even the Apostle Paul was hindered. I'm reminded of others. Job comes to mind. There Job was serving God. Next thing he knows, he's lost his family. Next thing you know, he's lost everything he owns. Next thing you know, his body is consumed in boils and to where his comfort now is gone. He's got a great wife who says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" But you don't find him doing that. Job knew what it was to be hindered. Moses knew what it was to be hindered. God sent him to speak to Pharaoh, and he stands there in front of Pharaoh, and God said, "I want you to throw down your rod, and I'll show you." And so he walks in there, and he throws down the rod, and the rod turns to a snake, and Pharaoh says, "That's nothing," and he calls his magicians over, and we find out their names are Jannes and Jambres, and in 2 Timothy, we find that they withstood Moses, and there Moses is getting ready to do the work of God, getting ready to be the mouthpiece of God, the hand of God, and he's got all the great promise and power and authority of God behind him, and yet they withstand him. And they hinder him. Aaron knows what it is to be hindered. God said, "I'm going to take Aaron's line and I'm going to set up my Levitical priesthood through you and I appoint you there." But Korah didn't like it. Korah and a few other men said, "It's not good that you take all this responsibility. We're going to." And the Bible says they stood in the face of Moses. Moses falls on the ground, begs them not to do this. And you find out later in a few verses, the ground opens up and swallows them whole, swallows their homes, swallows their families. Moses and Aaron knew what it was to be withstood. Joshua knew what it was to be hindered. He comes off the great battle of Jericho and sends just a few men up to Ai. It should have been plenty to go to Ai. And here comes God's people, the valiant, running with tail tucked between their legs, with great defeat and great shame and great scorn as they retreat back. And Achan had taken the accursed thing, and Satan was able to hinder the work. I'm reminded of Nehemiah when he goes back to build the great walls and to build up Jerusalem. And if you were to go to Nehemiah chapter 4, I think it's verses 7 and 8, you will find there's Sanballat and Tobiah, and they come in and they create much stir, and there's a hindrance to Nehemiah. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that Satan from the very beginning has hindered the work of God, tried to hinder the work of God and the people of God. And he did it to Job, and he did it to Moses, and he did it to Aaron, and he did it to Joshua, and he did it to Nehemiah, and he did it to the Apostle Paul. So he'll probably do it to us. Amen. And that doesn't scare me as much as that brings great hope to me. Because sometimes I walk through life and I think, God, it's too much. Pothole's too deep. Cost is too great. I thought you wanted me to go here, God. And I find myself hindered. The title of the message today, Hurdling the Hindrances of Satan. It's interesting to note in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 that the Apostle Paul has great desire to visit this church. But if you were to look at Acts chapter 16, you will see that there was another time that the Apostle Paul had a great desire to go somewhere. In Acts chapter 16, in verses 6 and 7, you read these words. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. You see, you find here the Apostle Paul in a familiar position. He has desire to go and be with somebody. In Acts chapter 16, he has desire to go into Asia. He has desire to go into these places. And in Acts chapter 16, he's unable to go because the Spirit of God doesn't let him go. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he has desire to come see the church at Thessalonica. And again, he's unable to go. But this time he says, it wasn't the Spirit of God, but Satan hindered me. That's kind of interesting to think that he would be in the same position and he would blame two people. One time he blames the Spirit of God. Next time he blames the enemy. Spirit suffered me not to go. Satan hath hindered me. You say, Pastor, how? How would I know if it is Satan or the Lord that's hindering me in my life? I'm going to get to that next week. But I'll say a couple of things here about that before we go, because I think you need to hear this. If you were to look at Acts chapter 17 as he finds this church, you will find out that Satan uses a couple of things here that I believe were influential in hindering the Apostle Paul. But I believe there's a common denominator that runs through this. In Acts 17 verses 1 to 13, I believe Satan uses persecution. He uses persecution to kick him out of Thessalonica. He uses persecution to get him out of Berea. And he uses persecution to keep him from traveling. In verses 15 to 32, Satan uses biblical heresy and philosophical heresy as he comes to the unknown God and the message at Mars Hill. And the Apostle Paul's not able to go to this church because he's bound and he's neck deep in the truth of the gospel. And he's here and he's laboring and he's working to try to straighten out these people's philosophy and their doctrine. If you were to know what was going on in the city that he's writing the letter from 1 Thessalonians, he's writing that from the city of Corinth. And he writes in that letter to the Corinthians, hey, there's much division in this church. There's much uproar in this church. And so he has persecution and he has heresy and he has division in the church. And the Apostle Paul sums it all up into just a few words. And he says, Thessalonians, I want to come to you, but Satan's hindering me. And Satan had used that persecution and he had used that heresy and he had used those divisions to capture the Apostle Paul and not let him go to Thessalonica. But there's one thing that runs through and through, and I do believe it is a great telltale sign of how you know when you're being hindered by the enemy. One word. The word is confusion. Confusion. We know what it is to be confused. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 33, that God is not the author of confusion. You see, when there's great confusion in my life and there's great confusion in your life, mark it down. James says, where there's confusion, there's every evil work. He said confusion normally comes from envying and strife. And it's envying and strife that's found in our hearts. And boy, that's just like Satan, to get into an area and create envy and create strife. And when envy and strife come about, there's confusion. And then when there's confusion, there's evil going on everywhere. That's how you know, my friend, whether you're being led by the Spirit or hindered by the enemy. That's how you know if your home is being led or it's being hindered. That's how you know if your marriage is being led or it's being hindered. That's how you know if your children are knowing the Lord, whether they're being led or whether they're being hindered, because great confusion is just everywhere and it's chaos everywhere. That usually means the enemy is involved. I can prove that in Acts chapter 19, verses 21 to 41. I won't ask you necessarily to turn there unless you can get there when I do, but in Acts chapter 19, you find the Apostle Paul there, and he's preaching. And he's preaching at Ephesus, and they're all worked up because these people are getting ready to lose their job because they make these little statues of the goddess Diana, the fertility god, the sex god. And so they make these little statues, these silversmiths, and they're selling them. And Demetrius is always upset. And the Apostle Paul is preaching the truth. And what's happening is what always happens when the gospel is preached amongst the false. People are getting saved. And they're looking at, now they're not buying those little statues. And now they're not doing these things. And they're all upset. And so they create a great envy and a great strife. And they move against the Apostle Paul. And the enemy stirs them up. And if you look at verse number 29 of Acts chapter 19, the Bible says, and the whole city was filled with confusion. Confusion. Look at verse 32. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused. Confused. You see, my friend, in the hindering of Satan, the core, the denominator, that common denominator that runs through his work is confusion. Remember that. Remember that when you leave this place. Remember that as you love your wife and love your children and work your job and make your plans. Pastor, how do I know if it's the Spirit of God or how do I know if I'm being hindered? Well, the steps of a good man are ordered. The things that God do bring peace. The things that God do, the way that God leads us is based on the Word of God. I'm going to touch on this in a minute. But over here, Satan gets in and just all hell breaks loose and there's confusion everywhere. Can I give you one piece of advice? Please never make a decision in the midst of confusion. Never make a decision in the midst of confusion. The enemy's at work. And so here's the Apostle Paul. The whole city's angry at him. There's heresies. There's persecution. There's division. There's confusion in the church. Paul says, Satan is hindering me from coming to the church at Thessalonica. It's interesting to note what Satan was trying to accomplish here. He's trying to keep the pastor from the church. He's trying to keep Paul from this church that he just birthed. The church is young and it's weak. And he's trying to keep the teaching and the discipleship away from the church. He's trying to cut off the milk that a newborn baby desires. He's trying to cut off the sustenance of that. And you know, physically, if a child doesn't get sustenance, it will wither up and it will die. And so Satan here is trying to create death to this church. And so he's trying to keep the pastor from the church because he hates Christian fellowship and because he hates church attendance. Now, on March 5th, 2006, God did something to me that I didn't know he was going to do. But God put within my body a pastor's heart. I don't know how it got there. I didn't have it really before then. I had desire, but I didn't have that heart. I learned what it was by watching Pastor Lehman and Pastor Williamson. But God put it in. A pastor's heart has to preach the book. Amen? Now, I will never apologize for anything that's found in the book, ever, period. I'd rather go to hell. I'd rather go work a job. I'd rather shut the place off, turn all the lights, bar the doors, and don't ever come back, we'll never apologize for the Word of God. All right? Now, let me say this because I think it needs to be said. The enemy is hindering God's people today by keeping us away from church. Now, you're here today, but make no bones about it. The greatest hindrance he does is he tries to separate God's people from the church. Now, I'm not totally sure that God's happy with Plantation Baptist Church because we're full this morning, but we won't be full tonight. We won't be. And I wonder today, is he hindering us? Has he hindered us to where we don't even have plans to come back tonight? We have no thought of coming on Wednesday? I have some questions for you, church, as your pastor. They're not easy questions, but they need to be addressed. What in the world is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ? What in the world is more important than the church of God? Church, what would we replace tonight instead of coming to church? What do we do? You say, well, Pastor, I wrote some things like, I don't always feel like coming to church. I'm old, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that. You know what? You don't always feel like going to work, but we go to work. Well, Pastor, I got to go to work because I got to pay the bills and I got to do these things and I got to have insurance and I just got to go to work. Well, whatever happened, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. You're telling me you're going to stand before God and say, God, I couldn't come to church because I had to go to work to sustain myself. Or I didn't feel like coming to church, but I would go to work, but I just didn't feel like coming to church. I wrote some other things down where I think the enemy is hindering us. Fathers, what are we teaching our children? What do we teach them when we don't bring them to church on Sunday? Well, do we teach them there's another God? That's what we're teaching them. We're teaching them that there is a different God that is more powerful than the Lord Jesus. The problem with that is this. One day they're going to need Jesus Christ. And one day that God we're teaching them won't keep them out of hell. Amen? And so we teach them that, hey, other things are important. We don't need to come to church because Jesus isn't that important. My God. We need to be careful. Satan is hindering God's people, trying to separate us. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like to drive at night, so I don't come back. Well, in case you haven't noticed, it's summertime. There's no darkness out there. You say, I can understand if you're physically incapable of driving at night, not coming to church, but I want you to explain to the Lord Jesus one day when you see him how you could drive at night to go to the movie, how you could drive at night to go to Publix, how you could drive at night to visit your friends, and how you can drive at night Monday through Saturday, but we don't like to drive at night on Sunday. We need to take oath of what we're doing. Satan is hindering us. You say, Pastor, I don't like what's being said. I know. So here's my protection. My protection is in this book because I don't care really what you think of me. That's not true. I do. But I can handle you not liking me, but I will not move away from the book. Now, here's what the book says. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means anytime the church is open, you're to be here. You say, well, can I not go on vacation? Sure, you can go on vacation. Can I not take some rest? Sure, you can have some rest. But the practice of God's people ought to be in church. You say, well, I drive a long way to come to this church. I understand, and I thank you for that. And maybe you're not able to come back. I'm not trying to be ridiculous here. And maybe your health doesn't let you come back in the evening, and that's fine. But to sit on our blessed assurance and not give one blasted thought to coming back to church tonight, Satan's hindering us. He's hindering us. And we're teaching our children there's another God out there, and he's more powerful than the Lord Jesus. By the way, may I say this because God put it on my heart. Right back here, outside the building, is a totally paid for 11-passenger van. Our church has paid for this van. We don't owe a dime. You know what? If you went out there to try to start that van right now, it wouldn't even start. Why? Because it never gets run. I'm praying that God would give us somebody who would say, you know what? I'll take that van, Pastor, and I'll pick up any old person that can't drive at night. I'll be used in some capacity. Satan is hindering us. And he's same thing he did to Paul. He's trying to separate the church from the pastor. And he's trying to separate our families from the church. And because we're Americans, we think we can just set our own time schedules and we can fit church in. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And you know what? I'm kind of like the psalmist. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, you don't like it. Your silence tells me you don't like it. You know what? I don't like it. But it's the book. Amen? It is the book. And we will be held accountable to the book. You say, Pastor, why is the church so important? Well, let me give you some reasons. Number one, it's the pillar and ground of truth. It's the house of God. It's the recipient of the Great Commission. It's the headquarters for world missions. It's where I exercise my spiritual gifts. It's where I'm trained as a father, as a husband, as a wife, and as a son, and as a daughter. It's where I'm ordained for service. It is purchased with Christ's blood. It is Christ's body. And I thank God for the church. Amen? Okay, now that being said, no, he's hindering us. He's hindering us. Now, here's the message. The message is, where are we most being hindered? Four things, four places where I believe Satan's hindering. Number one, the greatest place he hinders is people coming to know Christ. He spends most of his time here. If you're saved for some time, you remember when you were first coming to Christ? You remember how all you did was live for self and really didn't notice too much and really didn't notice too many problems? But that one time you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that one time where you began to, your mind began to think about heaven and think about hell and think about the Savior, it seemed like at that very time your whole being got captivated, and you went from a foot-free and fancy-free and foot-loose position to a deeply distressed and discerned and concerned position, and it was so heavy on you that we remember those times that the enemy moved in. He hates people coming to know the Lord Jesus. Let me talk to you today that are here and you're considering salvation. You know if you died now, you go to hell, but you don't want to go to hell. You want to come to the Lord Jesus. Satan will hinder you by saying things like this: your sins are too great. You're a murderer, you're this, you're that. He could never wash away your sin. May I read you a verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31? All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Amen? The blood of Jesus can wash any man's sin clean. There's nothing that cannot be. Satan says it's too late for you. It's too late for you. You've committed the unpardonable sin. You've sinned against the Spirit of God. No, my friend, if you have desire in your heart to be saved, you haven't committed the unpardonable sin. The enemy is hindering you. I know there's people here today, and you would be saved. I want you to know that you are a target for Satan, and he's putting pothole and pothole and pothole in front of us. Why? Because he does not want you to be saved. He does not want you to be to the glory of God. And so he hinders your mind, and he makes you think that God's not good, when I want you to know God is good. Amen? And so number one place he hinders people is those people that are coming to know Jesus. Man, and he'll hinder Plantation Baptist Church because this is a place that people come to know Christ. And so Satan is hindering there. I think he hinders in another place too. And I'll tell you what, you read Luke chapter 9, verse 37 to 43, and I'm glad God stopped me here. You remember this son who's demonic, and they're bringing him to be relieved of his demonicism, and they bring him to the disciples, and they can't do it. And now they're going to take him to the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that the demon threw him on the ground and tore the boy, and the boy was perplexed and almost ripped apart because he was on his way to the Lord Jesus. And that's what's happening to some of you. We're close to being saved, and our thoughts are on eternity, and our thoughts are on our sin, and the enemy's throwing us on the ground, and he's ripping us apart, and he's doing whatever he can so we don't get to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a hinderer. Not only does he hinder people coming to know Christ, but he hinders people in earnest prayer. Number two, he hinders people in earnest prayer. Now let me say this. Satan doesn't hinder anybody who prays. He hinders people who pray properly. Somebody has once said, well, Satan's afraid of the weakest saint on his knees. He's only afraid of the weakest saint on his knees if the weakest saint prays properly. You see, what's the purpose of prayer, Pastor? The Lord Jesus gave us the purpose of prayer. You don't need to search any further than this purpose in prayer. It's found in the Lord's Prayer. He said, we pray so the will of heaven can be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the purpose of prayer. I go to prayer, so I pray the will of heaven on earth. And Satan hates the will of heaven, wants nothing to do with the will of heaven, and he impedes and he hinders the will of heaven. And so when I get on my knees and I begin to pray, and I pray for my wife, and I pray for my children, and I pray for leadership, and I pray for wisdom, and I pray for power, and I pray for answers to finances, and I get down, oh man, I could be praying, and all of a sudden the weirdest thought I ever had came in. Sometimes you're some of those thoughts. I started thinking about so-and-so. You say, Pastor, that happens to you too? I mean, you ever get down on your knees and begin to pray, and all of a sudden you start thinking about Disney World? We start thinking about what we're gonna eat, we get this, we get tired, we get mentally attacked, we get physically attacked. May I say this to you? Know this, when you're in prayer, some of you have been praying for your lost loved one or lost family member or whatever, when that hindrance comes to the point of where it wants you to stop, know this, the answer is right around the corner. I wonder how many times that I've been heartbroken and I've been in prayer for years and years and years, and finally the hindrance just comes and it comes so great I can't handle it, and yet the answer was right there. And I said, you know what? I just don't, I'm not gonna do it no more. Satan hinders people coming to know Christ. He hinders people in earnest prayer. You know, I also find in Acts and in other places that Satan hinders people prompted by the Spirit of God. Have you ever had the Lord Jesus tell you to witness to somebody? He said, Philip, run and speak to that man. We didn't run and we don't speak. We're afraid. We've had our innermost being moved, and we know what it is to say a good word for Christ, and we know at that very moment and at that very time that God is moving and wants me to speak a word, but all of a sudden thoughts come and fears come and Satan hinders me. Sometimes you'll watch the missionary slide and you'll see the starvation, not only physically but spiritually, and God will move you to begin to give to missions. And Satan says, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And hindrance come. I remember a time my dad called me with a hot stock tip. Let me give you a little advice. Anybody you ever know ever calls you with a hot stock tip? Hang up fast. Dad said, son, you got $500? I said, Dad, that's about all I got. I got $500. He said, if you'll give me that $500, there's a stock right now we can buy and we'll make money. Well, anytime somebody says we'll make money, boom, man, our ears are perked up, amen? As sure as I'm standing here, I went to church one Sunday night, and I was to buy that stock the next day. I'm not against stock. I have stock today. I'm not against you having stock. Hope you have tons of it. I'm sitting in church, and the missionary came. He presented his mission field. They said, we're going to take a love offering now for the missionary, and I reached in my pocket, and I grabbed $20. I thought, that's a good missionary offering. I looked over at the other people. They were only giving five. Amen? That's what you do too. Okay, we're doing good. God said, Tom, what about that $500? I said, what $500? He said, that $500 you're getting ready to buy stock with. I said, God, oh, checkbook's in the car. That's exactly what I said to him, sitting in my seat, I promise you. You get to heaven, you'll watch this conversation. I said, the checkbook's in the car. He said, you know you can go get that checkbook. And he said, you know, you can go write that check and give it afterwards. I want you to give that $500. Oh, man. I said, Lord, they're giving five. Here's 20. So I put that $20 in the offering plate. I went about my business. Now, I want you to remember what I said about confusion. The next day, I tried to buy that stock in the morning on my computer. I tried to call somebody. I couldn't get anywhere way to buy that stock. And I did something that I do not recommend. I bought that stock going 80 miles an hour down I-95 in the passing lane on the cell phone. Now, if you want to talk about operating in the midst of confusion, that's confusion, brother. I called up so-and-so and buy it right now, $500. Yeah, boom, I'm driving out of the way. I think the moment that I hung up, I mean the very second I hung up, that stock not only went in the toilet, it went down the sewer, down the drain, and out somewhere. I lost every dime of that $500. And I think about that sometimes, and I think, you know, the Bible says, if I give to the Lord, he gives back in folds. You see, the stock market will give me a percentage, but God gives me folds. And I lost $500 that could have been invested in the missions.
It could have been invested in eternity. And the Spirit of God moved on my heart, but Satan hindered me. I think he does that to others. I think there's some of you today, Satan's moved on your heart to go or to surrender to something. And it's like when the Spirit of God is moving, here comes the hindrance and the confusion.
He hinders also people in the work of the Lord.
Let me tell you something. Here's what happens. I promise you this. You come to know Christ and you start serving the Lord, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. May I announce to you something that the Scripture teaches clearly? The Lord Jesus is the ultimate warrior. He is the ultimate warrior. Well, Pastor, I don't believe in war. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Well, I don't believe in killing a soldier. Well, you don't believe the Bible. The Bible does. And Jesus is the ultimate warrior. So here's God's people. We get involved in the work, and we get involved in serving the Lord, and sure as we can be there, here come the hindrances. And the hindrance that comes to us is usually the cry of peace. Satan says, you don't have peace in your life, you don't have any time, you don't have anything in your family, it's destroying everything, and we need peace, 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 peace all over. We got to have peace, peace, peace. And so the hindrance block comes up, and it says, peace. But I read these words, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. There are some of us right now in the service of our King, and the hindrance has come up, and Satan loves to hinder us. And there's big potholes there. And we're afraid. And we fall for the cry of peace when the Lord Jesus says, there'll be peace one day, but it won't be now. You say, Pastor, how does all this apply to me? Here's how it all applies to you, and we're done. I do believe that Satan is trying to hinder God's people from the church today. He's trying to hinder us from the preaching of the book. He's trying to hinder our families from coming. We're successful. We're wealthy. We're intuitive. And we're separating the Lord's day, and now we've sucked it right in and there's no thought. And Satan hinders people coming to know Christ, and he's hindering people who are being prompted by the Spirit of God. He hinders people who are in earnest prayer, and he's hindering people who are in the work of God. And you say, Pastor, that's me. Now let me encourage you. Number one, opposition should encourage you, not discourage you. Let me say that again. Opposition, listen, should encourage you, not discourage you. Oh, but Pastor, I started serving the Lord and things got hard. Well, praise God they got hard because you're making an impact in the kingdom of God. Well, Pastor, I started praying for my son who's not saved and now he's in jail. Well, praise God he's in jail. I'd rather him spend his whole life in jail than be free and go to hell, wouldn't you? Well, Pastor, I started praying for my marriage, and now he wants a divorce. Well, praise God he wants a divorce, because God's interested in eternity. And when we pray, things begin to happen. And when we serve God, there'll be hindrance. And don't let opposition discourage you. Let it encourage you. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. Don't quit. Let it thrill your soul. Let it light your fire. Let opposition encourage you. Number two, it can encourage you because our Lord and Master has overcome the enemy. I don't know about you, but I'm on the winning side. Amen? The Satan thought he defeated my Lord, but he did not defeat my Lord. Jesus said, I'm he that was dead. I'm now alive. I'll be alive forever. And I'm all powerful. I hold the keys of death and hell. I want you to know something. You're on the winning team. Boy, I'm on the winning team. That gives me courage. Oh, Satan knows he's finished, and he's fighting with great intensity, but his death warrant has been signed. His doom has been sealed. He will not deter my Lord. He will not dethrone my God. One day, I'll watch that old boy thrown in the lake of fire, and I will shout, glory, glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That ought to encourage us, church. Thirdly, I have a promise. Opposition should encourage me. My Lord has overcome, and I have a promise. Here's the promise. James said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 5 years later, after Paul writes this, Paul ends up in Thessalonica. 5 years. On his third missionary journey, he ends up there 5 years later. He comes back. What are you trying to say? Satan hindered him for a time, but he made it. He hurdled the hindrance, and he was there. The ground came up and swallowed Korah. Joshua, they went to Ai, blew it off the map. Nehemiah built the walls, and it was a marvelous city. Job comes back, and he's got twice the blessing of children, twice the blessing of all he had. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you this. There's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's my encouragement to you. Submit yourselves if you're being hindered. What does it mean to submit? That means I come and I say, God, I am yours. I am thine. Thine alone. Here's my life. Here's my wife. Here's my family. Here's my belongings. Here's everything. I lay it down at your feet. I lay it down for your disposal. Why is that so important? Well, once I surrender everything and I'm there, then I find that the only thing that becomes important to me is the book. Now, Pastor, why is the book so important? Here's why the book is so important. He said, resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Well, you don't resist the devil with your mind. You resist the devil the way the Lord Jesus did. He said, it is written. It is written. So here's where I come. If I'm being hindered by Satan, I submit myself to God. I get in the book and I resist him with the word. Why is it imperative that I resist him with the word? Because Satan can change your mind, but he can't change the book. Think about that. He can change your mind, but he can't change the book. Oh, he can change your mind from giving to missions. He can change your mind from serving the Lord. He can change your mind from witnessing to your neighbor. He can change your mind from coming to church. He can change our mind, but he can't change the Word of God. And so I resist him with the book, and I say, you hindered me. You've hindered me. But the Word of God is true. And so I resist him with the book. And you know what he realizes when he can't change your mind and he can't change the book? He flees from you. He flees from you. He leaves you. And there you are to give glory to your Lord, to watch your what God's called you to do come through in answers to our prayer. Say, Pastor, I'm in the middle of being hindered right now. He's all over me. I am running into those potholes. Well, I want you to know something. Be of good cheer. Don't be discouraged. You're making an impact for the kingdom of God. If you're in prayer for the lost loved one, you're making headway for the salvation of their soul. Don't quit. Oh, our Lord is victorious. He's in me. I'm in him. More than conqueror am I. I'm on the winning side. I have a promise from the book that if I submit and that if I resist in the word, he'll flee from me. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. We're done. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would, please. Say, Pastor, I'm here today and I'm close to being saved. I know I need to be saved. I know that if I died right now, I'd go to hell. But, man, Satan has hindered me and my thoughts have been just what you said about the sin and about time. And he's thrown everything in the book at me so I won't come to know Christ. Pastor, I want to know Christ. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray that God would protect me during this time? Would you pray that I'd be saved? If that's you, would you just lift your hand? I want to pray for you. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world, but I want to pray for you. Is he hindering you today? Christian, is he hindering you from the church? Is he hindering you in your prayer? Is he hindering you in the promptings of the Spirit of God? Is he hindering you in the work of God? You say he loves to hinder. Don't let it discourage you. Let it encourage you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Our Lord is King. And we have the promise of God. Maybe today you need to come and submit yourself. Submit yourself to the Lord. He's called you. Where he guides you, he will provide for you. Father God, in the moment, the invitation will be open. Not an easy message. I love these people. I do. I love them. I preach this word because I love them. I want them to serve you. I know we're being hindered. Satan wants to stop us cold in our tracks. I don't want him to stop one family, God. He's going to try, but oh, he's a defeated foe. God, do only what you can do in the hearts of men and women in this building. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.